morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is a beautiful day out there for sure. So I didn't know whether we'd wake up to snow or rain or beautiful sunshine, which I'm glad we woke up to sunshine. I don't know about you, but I will just start off by saying I kind of struggled this last week deciding on what to speak on. When I first was asked to speak again, I had a thought go through my head, and then I kind of just let it go because it was something I had already spoken on before, and I was kind of looking forward to speaking on something different, just kind of diving into Scripture. So I was looking through Scripture and some things that had been speaking to me, and some of it was about choosing joy, and God's always there. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us, right? So all these things are going through my head, and part of that was because what my family and I have been going through. February was not kind to the Johnsons. And in the last 2 weeks, I had one child in St. Louis at a specialist, one child in the emergency room, and my husband had surgery just this last Monday. And so lots of stuff going on and people liking to, medical professionals liking to use big, scary words. And so we have just been choosing joy and knowing that God's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And I'm so grateful that all of it has played out and everyone is healthy and we're on the mend. But It was a little bit of a road. And so as I was preparing to choose which of those to speak on, I was like, you know what? Nothing's coming together. It wasn't coming together the way I wanted it. So on Friday, I took the day off to finish preparing for today. And I was just praying in my morning prayer, like, Lord, why is this not working out the way I'm wanting it to? And I just thought of that sermon that I had spoke before. And I realized God wants you guys to hear that sermon, not what was in my heart, because what I was dealing with, but he had something that he wanted to share with you. So that's why today I'm going to be speaking on overcoming offenses. And before we get started, let's go ahead and go in prayer. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share the word here with Locust Grove Church. I thank you for their welcoming heart and their hospitality. Lord, I just pray that you'll just continue to grow their church, nurture their church, and help them to become exactly who you want them to be. But for today, Lord, I just pray that I have the words that you want for them to hear. And Lord, they won't fall on deaf ears, but Lord, open hearts. And Lord, I pray that it can be words that can help encourage them and even change the trajectory of their life. We thank you in advance for your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So my question to you would be, do you guys know anyone who's easily offended? Now, keep looking straight forward because you don't want to dart an eye left or right. You might not get lunch later. You might be in trouble later. So I don't want to be, you know, in charge of some marital disputes. But so maybe just keep your eyes up here. The other question would be, are you easily offended? You know, sometimes it's harder to think about whether we're offended. We know the people in our lives that are offended. But if you can't think of somebody in your life that is easily offended, it might be you. Just saying. But I know whenever I was thinking about this the first time, I asked Rick, I'm like, do you think I'm easily offended? And I said, you have all permission. Tell me what you really think. And he's like, no, you're not. You're not easily offended. And I'm like, okay, good. That's what I thought. And I thought, well, maybe I was. But I said, but when I do get offended, I can have a hard time getting over it. He goes, yes, yes, that is you. So it takes a lot to offend me, but when I do get offended, it definitely is something I kind of hold on to. So it's something I'm working on. So maybe your first thought when I said I'm speaking on being offended, maybe you're like, that's not me, and maybe that offended you. Maybe you're offended when you saw it was me speaking again, and you're like, oh, that chick. I don't know. Maybe it is. It's okay. I've got big shoulders. I'm okay. I'm not easily offended. So, you know, whatever it may be, we all have different times in the way we handle things. So whether you're easily offended, whether you hold on to those offenses, or you struggle to get past them, I just want you to know that God is going to help you. God has something for you today to help you overcome some of those offenses. I believe there's different levels of offenses. Like the first one would be something insignificant. It could be something as simple as being in the McDonald's drive-thru. So you know when they got the two lanes going on and you're doing what you think you're supposed to be doing and then somebody cuts you off. And it's like, really? It's going to be a minute more, you know, a difference in time. You're going to get your food a minute faster if you cut me off. But they cut you off. Now, you could take that moment and let it ruin the whole rest of your day and be offended over it. or you could just choose to let it go. Or have you ever been at Walmart or at a grocery store and you try to be kind and you hold the door for someone and maybe they say thank you, and then the next person goes in, and then the next person goes in, and then everybody quits saying thank you, and at some point you think, should I get hired? Like, I'm pretty much a Walmart greeter at this point, so maybe that's the case. And then we have the wonderful world of technology, extra places to get offended. So if you're on Instagram, you know, or Facebook, you could be scrolling it, and you realize one of your good friends had a party, and you're like, where was my invite? I did not see the event listed, you know, so you could get offended about that. Or you may have posted a picture of the most delicious, beautiful meal that you prepared this week, and nobody commented or liked it. I mean, come on, that was the best meal ever. It was a beautiful picture. Why didn't somebody comment? And then even that person that didn't invite you, you're getting mad because they didn't invite you. But the last time you saw them at Walmart, you ignored them. You like, ooh, I'm going to go 10 aisles over because I don't want to have a conversation with them. So you, but you thought, well, I thought we were at least Facebook friends, right? So we can take even just little offenses when it comes to that. Or how about texting? Oh my goodness. So emojis can be misinterpreted, right? Even my son and I were having a conversation the other day, even just texting. And he asked a question and I said, no, we'll talk about it later. And he took it as, no, we'll talk about it later. And there really was no attitude with it. It was simply, no, we'll talk about it later, because I was in the middle of something at work. I didn't have time to explain the whole reason behind my no, but that's all I could give him in that moment. So we needed to have a conversation on the phone, because then he's like, can you call me? It's like, okay. So I called him and made sure we were on the same page. So even in texting too, you know, you think you see the little bubbles, you think they're responding to you, and then they go away. And you're like, oh, were they offended when I asked them that? When I said that, did that offend them? And then you start to go, well, that shouldn't have offended them. Why are they offended? Then you get offended. And then it's just this vicious circle, right? So you really need to be careful when it comes to texting. My biggest encouragement with texting, even when I teach in the schools, is if you have a big conversation to have, don't have it over text. Have a face-to-face conversation, because so much can be misinterpreted and easily offendable, right? So even the little irritations or these little offenses, they can build up into a bigger offense because we just don't let it go. It's when we start to just internalize all those little offenses and they start building up, and you know, your husband thinks everything's fine, but you've been irritated about this yesterday and this morning, and now he come home and did this again, and then you just kind of explode. That's not his fault, right? Because you just held on to those offenses. So even the guy who cut you off at McDonald's, he may not even have realized he cut you off. He went on with his Egg McMuffin and his caffeine and had the best caffeinated day ever. But you instead let it derail your entire day because you held on to that offense. So don't let even the small offenses damper your day or stop you from even accomplishing in the day what God wants you to do. Because if we're walking around with a bad attitude and we don't have the joy of the Lord in our heart, are we going to be as good of a witness as we could have been if we just let that offense go, let the caffeinated guy go on his merry, happy way, and everything is fine? Then there's families. Does anybody have interesting family dynamics in their lives? I'm guessing, yeah, we all do. You may think, maybe my family isn't that unique, or maybe you do. Maybe you think, okay, yeah, we do have some of those problems. Maybe you have that relative that likes to comment on how you raise your children. Or maybe you have that relative that likes to pass judgment on what you've purchased, what vacation you've gone on. You know, a lot of times that's jealousy or whatever, but then just because they're a comment, you're then going to get offended. Or family members, you know, they can often times have large portions of opinions. And we just really need to check ourselves. I know I have a lot of friends that really struggle over the holidays, figuring out whose family to be at. You know, where are we going to spend Christmas? Where are we going to spend Easter? I know Rick and I, we got off easy in that effect. We got married in July. My parents moved to Oklahoma in September. And the next spring, his parents bought an RV and traveled across the country spreading God's word. So we didn't have any problems with holidays because it was always just the two of us. So then eventually our children. So we never had that problem, but I get that. Sometimes it's hard to navigate. And, you know, if you go to your mother-in-law's on Easter, you know your mom's going to be disappointed. So, like, how do you not offend? How do you keep everybody happy? But sometimes we can look at those situations with a magnifying glass when we look at others, people's reasons of why they do things. But I want to encourage you, instead of that, pick up a mirror and look at yourself and go, okay, why did I make that choice? Or why am I allowing myself to make a choice to be offended? Now, I do get there are serious offenses, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, like betrayal and lies and all different kinds of things. But we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But I don't want you to go through life with this closed heart to where you just can't even care about people because you're so offended, because you're holding on to that offense. It's going to be difficult to share the love of Christ if you are hating someone else, or if you're offended by someone else. I want you to think about this question. Is it fair to enjoy God's grace while extending no grace to others around you? God's grace isn't earned. It's freely given, right? He totally gave it. All you have to do is accept it. But why do we expect others to earn their grace? Why don't we love like Jesus first loved us? So I truly believe we need to overcome these offenses because our life is too short and our call is too great, because every one of us is called to be ambassadors for Christ. We are all called to do the work of the ministry. And because of that, we don't want to get held up on those offenses because life is just too short. And I often think about that even with my brother. We had one particular weekend set aside. I was super excited. I had just gone back to college. This was later in life. I had two little kids. They were 5 and 7, and I was going back to college, and my brother lived up in Bloomington Normal area, and his family had gone to Indianapolis, I believe, for like a vacation, and on their way back, they were going to stop for the weekend at our house. I was so excited. I had cleaned my house top to bottom. I wouldn't let the kids get anything out, you know, like, no, it's clean, leave it, and I had gone to the store, bought all kinds of food, prepared food, and I was just so excited because my brother was a firefighter, so we didn't always get to see him when we saw even his family, because he worked so much. And so he was coming to town, and I was ecstatic. And I get a phone call about 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's him, and he's like, hey, we missed our exit. I'm like, what do you mean you missed your exit? Well, I just realized we are past the Charleston exit. So we were talking in the car. We just don't want our vacation to end, so we're heading to St. Louis for the weekend. Do you think I had a moment there? I had a moment. So I had a moment to choose whether to be offended or not. And I'm not proud to say I was offended. I was not happy. And the conversation was short, but at the end of the conversation, my brother said, just remember, no matter what, I always love you. And I said, I love you too. So that was on a Saturday. And fast forward to Wednesday, we get a phone call that my brother had collapsed at his second job and had passed away. And I share that story because I know life is too short and offenses are not worth holding on to. And I'm so grateful he lived by a rule. Being a firefighter, you never know when you're going to be put in harm's way and when the last time you're going to see a family member. So he had a hard, fast rule. No matter what was said or done, he always said he loved us. And so I'm grateful he stuck to that rule, because our last words were that we loved each other. I wish I hadn't held on to that offense, even for that moment. But I guarantee you, when I found out he was gone, do you think I cared about that offense? No, not at all. I often think back now and I think, wow, he got another day with his kids, just his kids. So what a precious gift that they had. They missed our exit. It's okay. So I want to encourage you, don't hold on to those offenses, because life is too short. It's like a mist. We're here for a little bit, and then we're gone tomorrow. So life passes by. You know, it seems like yesterday that Rick and I were dating, you know, but it's been a little bit. We'll celebrate 29 years in July. And then we have two kids, and one of them is dating. It's like, how is that possible? I should be the one still dating, not married 29 years almost. So it's kind of crazy. You know, even over the past summer, in a 24-hour period, my son Grant turned 16. He got his driver's license and got a full-time job. And it was like, okay, buddy, my heart can't take much more. It was just really quick, really fast. But it just, again, just reminded me, it goes by so fast. So why live offended? Why live upset? Instead, live at peace with yourself and with others and share the love of the Lord. I have to remind myself that, you know, life is short, but my calling is too great. And that is the same for you. So we're called to go into the world to preach the gospel, to be a light of the world, the salt of the earth, to reflect love, the love of Jesus in all of our actions, to be Jesus' hands and feet, you know, not wondering who's going to take care of a situation, but being willing to take care of that situation. So I don't know about you, but I just want to decide that. My life is too short, my calling is too great. And I'm not going to deal with any of this small offenses or even the big offenses. We need to let it go. Life's too short, and our college is too great to be offended. All right, if you'll turn with me to Proverbs 19:11. All right, I'm reading out of the NIV, and it says, "A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense." So I want to point out the overlooking offenses part. So it isn't the same as pretending it didn't happen, right? Things still happen. Instead, it's that conscious decision to go, I'm letting it go. I'm not going to hold on to this. It's a form of forgiveness. And so it says, it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. And the word overlook is actually two Hebrew words that mean to pass over. And so it's to rise above, to grow closer to God so that we can overlook and pass over that offense. Because again, life is too short and your calling is just too great. You don't want to let something small distract you from something great that God has planned for your life. Don't let a small offense keep you from something great. It just isn't worth it. But with God's help, I believe that we can get over being easily offended. All right, turn with me to Ephesians 4:2. Going to have you jumping all through the Bible today. And I love this scripture because I think it makes us take a reflection of go, okay, how am I really reacting? Again, Ephesians 4:2, it says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." So be completely humble. When we are offended, instead of being humble, oftentimes we become proud, right? And we dig in our heels. So this is the scripture just giving us that reflection. Are you being humble or are you being proud and digging in your heels? Then it says, "Be completely humble and gentle." And instead of gentle, oftentimes we can be simply unkind with our words, with our behaviors. And then it says, "Be completely humble and gentle and be patient." And instead of patient, we are simply impatient and demanding, wanting what we wanted out of the situation, not thinking about what's going on with others. And the last part of the scripture states, "Bearing with one another in love." And this means we need to try and relate to them, figure out what's going on in their life. Put yourself in their shoes. We may not completely understand why someone is doing what they're doing, but that's okay. You just need to be able to guard your heart and not allow yourself to get offended by it, because there are lots of things going on in other people's lives. I'm even sure this week, the last 2 weeks, the things that we've been going through as a family, most people didn't have a clue. We were kind of private people. We let our few people know that could pray with us, but we're not, I don't blast things on Facebook. That's just me. And there may have been some people that were offended because, you know, I wasn't at church last Sunday. Last Sunday, I ended up in the ER with my son. So maybe somebody got offended because Tina didn't come and fill her post. I was supposed to work the check-in station. Maybe that bothered somebody. I hope it didn't. But it could have been easy for someone to get offended because, oh, and I have to serve another week. Why didn't she show up? Well, again, they may not have known what was going on in our lives. And I think a lot of times that's where we end up. We forget to look at the other side and kind of step into their shoes and see where they're coming from. We have to remember that I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Our friends, our families, our coworkers, they're not perfect either. And even strangers, even the guy in the McDonald's line, you know, he's not perfect either. Unfortunately, we judge others, though, by our actions and ourselves by our intentions. And I have a story for you. It was probably about a year or two ago, my mom was in the hospital, and it had been a long, exhausting week. And I had gone there after something with the kids and raced in and was going to see mom and kind of tuck her in for the night. I was exhausted. I just wanted to run in, see her for a little bit, and then get home and help out with my family. And as soon as I came out, I jump in my car, and I was like, what in the world happened? Instantly, I smelled cigarette smoke. That's not normal. Okay, and I'm like, what is all this trash? My passenger seat is full of trash. And then in our car, we have a Camry. There's this little section down here where it has the controls for the heater on the seats, and it kind of has a little divot. It is mounded up with ashes. And I'm like, what has happened here? And I'm starting to get really offended, even by the smell. And I'm like, what happened here? And so apparently, someone decided they needed a break. And their intentions were they needed a break. And their actions were they went and got in their car and took a break. I don't know at what point. I don't think they ever realized it wasn't their car because they didn't take their trash with them or anything. I'm grateful they didn't steal my laptop that was sitting there. But, you know, I could have judged that situation by their actions. Like, how could they do that to me? Why would they do that to my car? But the reality is, I don't know who they were there to see in the hospital. I don't know what situation they were going through. Because even if I was going to judge my actions were I forgot to lock my car. If I had locked my car, there would never have been a problem. But it's just a good example of knowing you don't know what that person was going through, what that situation was. It wasn't the funnest thing to clean up, but it's okay. But life went on, and now it's just kind of a funny story in our lives. But yeah, the note to that one is please lock your doors when you go anywhere. But you know, the other reason I choose to give that person compassion, because there was one day I got in someone else's car too and tried to start it, but it wouldn't start. In my car. So, you know, and I was in a hurried moment that day. So I'm hoping that that person had grace on me if they saw me. I'm not sure if they did. But I want to give others the benefit of the doubt, and I hope that they will do the same. And we need to recognize that when someone else has a bad day, whether they're uncaring, unkind, maybe they give a quick response, whatever it is, just think about what's going on in their life. And then I wonder too, what if we took a moment to go, maybe they need prayer for something. Maybe there's a need that I could fulfill in their life. And just taking that moment to see them through God's eyes and helping them instead of judging them or getting offended. I remember one time when Alyssa was just a few months old. I always tease her that she was the perfect toddler, but as a baby, she cried a lot, a lot. And one particular day, she was just crying and crying and crying, and I could not get her to stop. And Rick was downstairs, so it was like 9 o'clock at night. I was in the nursery. I remember picking her up, walking down the stairs, and I just laid her next to Rick, and I'm like, I'm out of here. I need a break. So I did what every Midwestern mom does, get in the car, and I go to Walmart. So I'm walking around Walmart for about an hour, just kind of like, just needed a break. Home with two little kids. Has anybody ever been there? It's not. I guarantee you, being a stay-at-home mom is the most difficult job in the world because it never stops. Never stops. And so I took off to Walmart. I'm there. I'm walking around, looking at little things and whatever, and just taking a breather. And I felt a little better, and I thought, okay, I'm going to head home. So I get home, and as I'm in the garage, putting around down the garage door, I get a glimpse in the mirror of myself. And I realize my hair is a mess and my eyes are red and puffy from crying. And then I see the streaks of mascara going down my face. And I was horrified. I thought, oh no, did I see anyone? I mean, I was in a daze. I don't know if I saw anyone. I don't know if I offended anyone. I don't know if I was rude. I don't know. They probably just stayed away, to be honest, because I looked like a crazed lady at Walmart, for sure. But when someone is obviously having a bad day, so I was obviously having a bad day, what if someone had just taken a moment and said, you know what? Jesus loves you. It would have made my day. And so just think about those moments when you see those moms that are having a rough day. Don't judge them. Don't get offended because their kid's screaming in the store and it's annoying you. Most of us have been there and had that screaming toddler in Walmart. I just look at them and go, I feel ya. You know, I've been there. It'll get better. So, yeah, that's definitely a moment that I wonder, how did I affect people in that moment? How did they see me? And so I want to see people the way I wanted to be seen in that moment. Right? I wanted to be seen by people and appreciated. So make sure that we do that with others. I want it to be my first thought, you know? How do they need ministered to? How can I pray for them? How can I serve them like Jesus would? With God's help, we can stop being easily offended. So we've got too much to do for God, so to let something so small slow us down and stop what God has planned for our life. But with God's help, we can also get over big offenses. And again, I acknowledge there are people in the room probably who have some significant hurts. Maybe it's offenses, betrayal. It could be adultery. It could be abuse, physical, emotional, or sexual. But when you've been hurt, we have a choice. And we can really easily do kind of two extremes. One, we can either rehearse it. So kind of like when something's happened to you, you rehearse like, well, they did this and they did that. And the next time I see them, I'm going to say this and I'm going to do that. So often we rehearse it over and over and over. And when we do that, it just starts to allow that hurt and that offense to take a deeper root, right? Because when we keep thinking about it, it just keeps digging in. But if instead of thinking about it and rehearsing it, what if we were just to release it and just say, you know what, Father God, take this offense from me because I can't carry it, and allow him to carry it for you. We talked about over and over, and it feel we talked about over and over, and it feeds when we talk about over and over. It feeds that bitterness, and it's a lot harder to get rid of if we just allow ourselves to go into that trap of thinking about it and rehearsing it and talking about it over and over and over. But we can rehearse it, or with God's help, we can start to release it. So I don't know about you. I want to release it. I don't want to hold on to any of it anymore. The process of forgiveness for some may take a little time, but as we continue to seek God, pray with him, read the scripture, he's going to allow us, give us that ability to do the right thing and to let it go. When we seek God's help, his spirit can actually change our hearts, change our perspective. How awesome is that? Go ahead and turn to Colossians 3:13. And here it says, we're told to make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. And that might seem impossible, especially if you're dealing with a big offense. But we have to remember that the Lord forgave us, so we need to forgive others. The Lord forgave me, so I'm called to forgive others. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that my sins were forgiven. I'm really glad that God didn't go, oh, nope, that was too much. You went too far, Tina. I'm not going to forgive that. I'm going to hold on to that one. No, he forgives us of everything, and he freely does it. But you might be thinking, how can I forgive someone so horrible? How can I get over something so tragic and horrific? How do I forgive someone who's harmed a loved one? Someone who's harmed my child, even? I want to encourage you. And hear this, that forgiveness is not minimizing the offense. When you forgive someone who has wronged you, you are not saying, it's no big deal. It didn't really happen. No, it happened. Instead, you choose forgiveness because you choosing forgiveness, who does it heal the most? It heals you. Because if we hold on to that offense, it's going to rob you of your freedom. So don't allow someone to win yet again by you holding on to that offense, but give that offense over to the Lord. Let him deal with it. Let him change your heart. Let him change your perspective. and you allow yourself then to find freedom in Jesus. But forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. The reality for some, you may never forget what happened. It may be something that you have in the back of your mind for forever, but I believe that when you give it to God, He can allow you to remember it, but He can allow you to not have to relive it. He can allow you to see it without pain anymore. He can take away the pain if you allow Him to. God wants you to show you how He can make all things new, right? We're all new creation when we accept Christ. And He wants to take away all the junk. He wants to take away the sins. He wants to take away the hurt. He wants to make a new you. I want to forgive in the same way that I've been forgiven, freely. By forgiving, then you're setting yourself free from that bondage of holding on to the offense. And I get forgiveness can be a process. It's kind of like a wound. You know, you have a superficial wound. You just put a little Band-Aid on it. It's okay, right? But then maybe it's a little deeper and you have to go get stitches. I had that done it was during COVID for the first time ever. Never had stitches in my life. That was the whole experience. So maybe it goes a little deeper. Maybe it takes a longer time to heal, right, sir? Takes a little longer sometimes. Sometimes wounds can get infected and cause issues even in your body. And it's the same thing with a hurt. It may be something that's just super, just hurt a little and you can let it go. Maybe it's a little deeper and it's going to take a little more time. But even on the bigger wounds, maybe they get infected or cause problems in your body. It's the same thing with a big offense. Maybe it's going to take several things, you know. With a big wound, you might have to go get it cleaned. You might have to get a wound vac. You might have to get all different kinds of things. So it's the same thing with a big offense in your life. It may take a little time to get through it, but with God's help, you can. Maybe it's going to take time. Maybe it's going to take counseling, whatever that may be. But God can use people even to bring into your life to help you find that healing. So Jesus Himself understands what you're going through. You know, He allowed Himself to be tempted in every way that we would be tempted. There's nothing we can face today that Jesus Himself didn't face. And that, I think that's inspiring to think of. Like, there's nothing that I'm going to go through that He didn't experience or already know about. So when we're betrayed by a best friend, lied to by a spouse, or a confidant broke your trust, remember, Jesus was betrayed too. Remember Judas? So a trusted friend and one of His disciples betrayed Him. So when we're falsely accused, misunderstood, or the subject of gossip, remember, Jesus was falsely accused, right? Wrongly indicted in several courts. When we are rejected by a spouse, a friend, or trusted authority, or even a church, remember, Jesus was rejected by Peter, one of His disciples and closest companions. And when we're abused, remember, Jesus was abused, beaten, tortured, and crucified on the cross. When we're humiliated or haunted by an embarrassing moment or ashamed or disgraced even, remember, Jesus was humiliated, crucified, and disgraced in a public, the biggest public setting, right? And crucified. But I don't know about you. I am grateful for the example that Christ gave us through all Scripture. So a couple years ago, I went through a transition in my life that, to say the least, was not easy. It was difficult. But when I left that situation, I was not holding on to any offense. I was okay. I knew God told me to move on, so I moved on. But months later, I was listening to a podcast, and I was kind of taken back because I convinced myself that I really wasn't offended. I really didn't feel that I was. But when I was listening to this podcast, they gave several different ways to think about offenses. And the first one was acknowledge the offense. And so sometimes we choose to ignore an offense. We push it deep down because we just don't want to, we can't deal with it in that moment, or we don't want to deal with it, whatever it may be. And the podcast I was listening to encouraged you, take a moment and think, is there anything in your heart, anything deep down that you bear that you haven't let go of that's holding you back? And I hit pause and I prayed. And I'm like, okay, God, reveal to me, is there something in my heart that I'm holding on to that I haven't let go? And when I did that, I just began to cry. And this hurt came to my mind that I hadn't even put words to. And I realized that I had been holding on to something even deep down. But God revealed to me what that was. And then the second thing the podcast suggested was surrender the right to punish. So in Romans 12:17, it says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone." Revenge is not the answer, right? Ever thinking of revenge is, even thinking of revenge can be toxic because you're worried about it, you're upset about it, and again, maybe they don't even know about it. Caffeinated guy's gone on his way. You're the only one all. I am going to chase him down, right? So whatever that is in your life, it's just not worth it. So surrender the right to even punish. And then the third one is to pray for those who have offended you. So in Matthew 5:44, it says, "But I tell you, love your enemies, and I pray for those who persecute you." And as I began praying for this person that offended me, I really just start to feel like this weight lifting off of me, because I was letting go of it and realizing I just need to pray for them. And I guarantee you, the prayer was good for them, but the prayer was really great for me, because I completely let it go in that moment, even the stuff that I had buried deep down. And because of that, I allowed my heart to soften and not carry that any longer. And then the last one was be open to reconciliation. And in Romans 12:18, it says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." So note the scripture says, "if possible." Now I know there are situations in life that it may not be possible. If it would be harmful for you, if it would not be safe for you to reconcile, then that's one thing. But the scripture says, if it is possible, but we want to live at peace with everyone. And God realizes there are some toxic relationships, and he realizes we have to remove those from our life, and that's okay. But, you know, we can either rehearse over and over how we want to get revenge, or how they hurt you, or why they did this and why they did that. Or we can choose today to release it. But I don't know about you. I'm over it. I'm over holding on to any kind of offenses. Life is just too short, and our call is too big. Because of God's example of forgiveness, I choose to be over it. And even the example of Joseph in Genesis 37. I love this story. I've always loved this story even since I was a little kid. I mean, he had the cool coat, right? All the different colors. But, you know, here's a boy whose brothers throw him in a pit to leave him, but then decide to sell him. And I mean, come on, if your siblings did this to you, I think most of us, if we're being honest, would raise our hands and say we would get offended, and we would probably be plotting for years the revenge. But instead, he goes on to live a life serving the Lord. He gets noticed for his ability to interpret dreams, which then moves him up in the ranks to where he's second in command under Pharaoh in Egypt. And the day comes when there's famine in the land, and those brothers that threw him in a pit and then later sold him into slavery show up before him. It would have been so easy in that moment to go, guards kill him, guards make him slaves, all different kinds of things. But he didn't do that. You know, he sent him on that. There's a lot. It's a great story. I encourage you to read it. You know, there's several sections in there where, you know, he gives them some things. He heads on their way to see if they're going to be truthful and all that. And part of it, too, is he wanted him to keep coming back because he wanted to see his father. And he wanted to see his other brother who hadn't come to town. So he could have done anything all along those ways. But his whole point was to get all of his family back. You know, and then when his brothers finally realize who he is, they're like, oh, no. He's going to do something. And he's like, no, no, no. What you meant for evil, God used for good. He's raised me up. He has a plan so I could be here to help you and give you all that your family needs. And so I just love that when you think about that. What God or what people or what Satan meant for evil, God is going to use for good. And he definitely could have done different things there. He could have held on to that offense. He could have found revenge, but instead he decided to show God's love and God's compassion on them. So how are we reacting to those offenses? Are we reacting like Joseph did, or are we reacting in a way that isn't of God? So life is way too short to let something drag you off course. If it's a big offense, let's be honest, those are real and those are tough, but we can go to our Father and he can give us a new perspective. He can make us a new creation. He can help us handle that in a way that we never thought we could handle it. He'll give us peace beyond our own belief, right? Like more peace than we could ever even imagine. So I hope that you can remember to overlook an offense, because our lives are just too short and our calling is too big.